You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. And it's time for this week's Entrepreneur Zone. Now, I mentioned earlier on that Steve Reed is not available this week, and it is his time to be in the studio, and he's not. He's away, but he has made plans for that. He's sent us Heinrich Rovier to speak to us on the Entrepreneur Zone. He's going to follow on with what Steve was speaking about 2 weeks ago, and that is, you know, how to get going in 2024. Just give you some background into Heinrich. He is an entrepreneur, has been since 1993, and he's been making his mark in the accounting industry since 2008. He leads a small accounting firm in Fishhook and manages an accountant listing directory website. Now, he loves crunching numbers, but is really passionate about marketing, and over the years, he has helped many other accountants start up accounting practices. He also has a YouTube channel called the SA Accounting Network, where he shares valuable insights on business and tax-related matters. In his personal life, he's been happily married since 2000, and his son recently matriculated in 2023. Heinrich also loves running, playing squash, loves fishing, and spending time with friends. A very good afternoon to you, Heinrich. Lovely to have you here.
Yes, thank you, Richard. Yeah, thanks for the introduction, and I'm glad that Steve was brave enough to trust me with the microphone this afternoon.
Well, he didn't have much choice.
Yeah, but it's lovely to be back in the studio.
Yes, it's a very important topic, and we felt we needed to fill it rather than wait. You know, we're talking about getting 2024 going, and and to wait into February to do that would have been the wrong thing. So we felt it would be right if you could come in and speak. Yeah. And add to what Steve did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure. So let me maybe just share a little bit of the reason why he asked me to come and talk today. Is I think we met up for coffee, it must have been about towards the end of last year, and we were just having a discussion about, you know, the plans for this year. And so when I listened to his talk that he did 2 weeks ago, there were so many of the points that just resonated with my plan. And when we actually met up for coffee the other day, he says, he really wants me to come and share with the listeners today and with you, and just, you know, about what he talked about last time, you know, how you actually practically implement those type of things. And I think that's just a little bit of my story that I want to share with you guys.
Well, you go for it. The microphone and platform is yours.
Awesome. Thanks, Richard. Yeah, so I think maybe just to start off, just to recap just briefly of the seven things that Steve mentioned last time, I'm just going to mention the points just briefly. The first one was to play to your passion. Second one is to prioritize new businesses. Third one is to develop an attitude of gratitude. Fourth one was to keep learning. Fifth one is to improve each week. Number six was to spend the currency of time with others. And seven, to set audacious goals. So many of these points, obviously, is really relevant to the story that I want to share. And I think the first one that I want to share was point four, where he said that we must never stop learning. And I think that was always one of my life mottos, is to make sure that I always stay on the leading edge of what's happening out there. And I read some interesting statistics. They say in 2019, it was studied in America that 33% of school leavers never ever read another book in their whole life.
Wow.
Which is quite scary. And now, if you're thinking in South Africa, I don't even know what the statistics would be in South Africa. And 80% of people in the previous year never ever bought a book or finished reading a book in the last year. So I think that is quite interesting. But there's a direct relationship between how much you read and how much you earn. And I think that is a really good encouragement for anybody just to start the habit of reading. So obviously from what I'm sharing now, you can realize that I'm a reader. And I think there were two books that I read last year that made a real big impact on my goals or my plans that I made for this year. The first book that I just want to give the guys is a quick overview of what the book is about. There's a book called 4,000 Weeks by a guy called Oliver Berkman. And so what he shares inside this book is that all of us have roughly 4,000 weeks that we are here on planet Earth. And so I'm turning 50 this year, so which means that I'm probably about 2,600 weeks into my 4,000-week journey. And so he talks about that every week is like a container that is passing past us, and every week we have to fill that container with things that we are passionate about or that we have to do. If we don't fill the container with enough stuff, then it actually feels that we're busy wasting our time. But the reality is that we will never have enough time to do everything that we can do. But if we prioritize our lives, then we can have enough time to do the stuff that we actually want to do. So there's a big difference between what you can do and what you want to do. So there's two principles that he talks about. He talks about the efficiency trap, which is quite a funny thing, actually. He says that the better you are with something more, the more it is expected of you to do that thing. So let's say, for instance, like washing dishes. You know, if you're really good at washing dishes, guess whose job is going to be to wash the dishes. It's going to be yours, you know. So he talks about it, that we actually, if you realize you're doing something that you can do but don't necessarily want to do, is to on purpose underperform in those areas so that people don't ask you to wash the dishes again next time because they feel they can do it better. So the other thing that the big thing that stood out in the book is they talk about the time management principle. It's time management, where they talk about the vase with all the different size rocks. You get as sand and bigger rocks and the bigger rocks. But he says that that whole experiment or that whole theory behind it is flawed. He says because if you look at the theory, at that guy's example only used two or three big rocks. He says where the reality is in our lives, each one of us has probably got about 8 or 10 different big rocks that we have to try and fit into this vase, which is basically just impossible. Mm. So when I was reading this, I decided to do this one exercise that they were talking about in the book itself, and where you take a piece of paper and you draw yourself in the middle, and out of the middle of that paper, you draw yourself little arms going out to the different areas in your life, which is really important. So for me, there were 8 big areas that that stood out for me. Let me just quickly find it. So my first one is obviously my relationship with God. Second one is my relationship with my wife, then with my son, all the stuff related to my work, my church, my recreation, my sport, and my friends. Those were the big things that stood out. And then out of those things, so if you look at, let's say, for instance, my relationship with my wife, there's certain things that I worry about for her. So out of those 8 arms, I draw little arms further than that to say, these are the things that I worry about with my wife and with my son and with my work. And all that type of stuff. So at the end of the day, I had this piece of paper with these 60 outer arms that I need to sit and worry about on a daily basis. But the fact is, if I had to take that piece of paper and I give it to Richard and I say, listen, Richard, this is what I expect from you. I expect you to worry about these things. Then it would be unrealistic for me to expect that from you. But we expect it from ourselves, which is the scary thing. Mm. So the one exercise that I did last year is to look at this thing, to get a little bit of a picture of where we are with our lives, to see, are we actually expecting too much for ourselves? Because the reality is, as I talk about the efficiency thing, is the more you do, the more you expect it to do, which is actually not a good thing. So I then started with this journey where I said, okay, these 60 things that I need to sit and worry about, what can I do practically to go and cut some of these things off so that I don't need to sit and worry about 60 things, you know, because you always get pulled into different areas and stuff which you actually don't want to do. So I have been quite intentional. So those 60 arms that's in the outer edge at the moment, I've got that down to about 40. So I managed to cut off about 1/3 of all the stuff that I need to sit and worry about on a daily basis. So I think that is the first challenge that I'm going to share a little bit further as well with the listeners, is to do that exercise. You know, take a piece of paper, write your name in the middle, write the big things in your life, the big things that you need to worry about, and just do the exercise. It's always good to do it because then you can see what you need to work on. And I think the second book that I read was also a game changer. It was called The Soul of Money by a lady called Lynn Twist. So she is a fundraiser for Operation Hunger. So I think she's been doing fundraiser like for 50 years. So she's been around the block a couple of times. And the whole thing goes about mindsets. It says most people live with a scarcity mindset, always think that they don't have enough money, that the house that they're living in is not big enough, the car that they drive is not fast enough, the money that they earn is not enough, or the phone that they have is not new enough. When contrast, the other mindset that you've got is the sufficiency mindset, where you can actually say that, listen, I'm actually happy with what I have. You know, the car that I drive is actually okay. I don't need a new car because my wiper started scratching. I don't need to buy a bigger house. I don't need to buy a newer phone. So I think it's just that the whole thing of living with more contentment in what you have. So just coming back to the other book, The 4,000 Weeks, talks about the similar thing, that we must actually stop chasing things because more is actually not better. You know, I think that is, if you take it back to business, if you think about business, we always think of having more clients as a sign of success. But in fact, having less clients, but perhaps better quality clients might actually be the answer. So just the takeaway from the second book is more is not better, but deeper is actually better.
The name of that second book again was?
It was called The Soul of Money by a lady named called Lynn Twist.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think the reason why I shared those two books is just to give a little bit of background, or maybe to lay a foundation of what my plan is for this year. And when I shared it to Steve, he says, that's the reason why I have to come and share it. So just a little bit of background. My son, as you mentioned rightly, matriculated in 2023, which is last year. So we had this arrangement, and when he went to grade 10, he wanted to leave physics with everything. That he said, Mom, Dad, I'm not doing physics. So I said, okay, buddy. if you finish physics grade 12, then we will give you a gap year. You can take the year off and you can sit and chill and stuff. The only condition that we have is we're not going to sit and pay for you to sit and watch YouTube for a year.
Yeah.
You have to do something with your life. So in the meantime, he's done his squash coaching course. So he's busy coaching squash and a couple of ventures that he's busy with. And during that whole time when I was doing this assessment of my life, you know, I said to my wife that in November 1993, I opened up my first business bank account. So it's been 30 years that I've been an entrepreneur now. So I said, you know what? I also want to take a gap year this year. I want to take the year off. And I think that is when I told it to Steve back then, his eyes just went big.
Mine have just done the same thing.
Why now? So that's a theory. That's my audacious goal for this year, to work my way to be able to do that, to actually take a year off. So just the way that I'm busy restructuring my work-wise is I've got an accounting firm, as you mentioned, right? I've got a personal assistant that's been with me since 2010, and I've got another youngster. He's busy studying. He's doing his honors at the moment. That's also with me. So between the two of them, they probably know my clients better than what I know them myself. You know, so in theory, I don't need to be there every single day. You know, so but between the skills that they've got, I'm busy restructuring my stuff that I'm only going to keep a certain amount of clients. And then I've started another accounting practice with somebody else that I've known for probably about 10 years. So he's going to take over probably about 70% of my clients, you see. And what's interesting from an entrepreneurship point of view, that we've got a coach in the buddy. His name is Murray Kilgore. And he talks about this principle that he says that every business is like a ship where you've got an engine room downstairs and you've got a bridge upstairs. He says where most entrepreneurs get caught inside the engine room. So they're always busy with operations of the business and touching base with clients and doing work and doing this and that, where they never get a chance to get onto the bridge of the ship itself to actually set the direction of what you want to do with this business. And just the interesting thing, just from doing this exercise of me taking one step back and just planning to see how this structure would work, I already started seeing some opportunities out there that I would have never seen if I was stuck inside the engine room. Maybe just to give an example, as you mentioned, I'm involved with a YouTube channel where I do talks on tax-related stuff and I do tutorials on accounting packages and stuff. So the main one that I'm focusing on at the moment is a package called Sage Accounting. So on Sage, I probably have, I think my newest video's got like about 90,000 views on it. Wow. And I get referral fees from Sage for the people that sign up to the videos. Mm. But if you look in South Africa, we've got three big game players. We've got obviously Sage, we've got QuickBooks out there, and then we've got Xero Accounting. But at the moment, I'm only focusing on one. And just my referral fees from one accounting package alone, I'm basically making up almost like half my salary, what I'm taking out of my accounting practice. So for me, taking one step back to say, listen, but what opportunities are there? If I focus on Xero Accounting and QuickBooks, then I can more than easily make up more than my salary just by focusing on those things. And I would never have been able to do it if I didn't take that step back from my business. So I think that is just the short version or what I wanted to share with the guys today. It's important to do that assessment and see whether you're actually busy with the stuff that you want to be busy with, you know, to do that exercise. Because if you start in the right place, then your business can grow from there.
Yeah, it's an assessment that leads you to that point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So if I didn't do that, I would never be able to make this decision. Yeah, so I think just in summary, what I say is that the exercise of writing your name on a blank piece of paper, I think the challenge out there for all of us is to clean up our lives, get rid of the things that you don't want to do so that you can make more time for the things that you love doing. And if you can do that, then you can play to your passions, as Steve mentioned last time, and then take time to pause and reflect. And perhaps if the people are brave enough out there to start reading a book or to commit to even just reading 5 pages a day, to create an attitude of gratitude, not only for the things in your life, but rather for the people in your life, which will cause you to spend the currency of time with the people you love, and to set those goals, to dream big, because at the end of the day, we only have 4,000 weeks the side of the grave.
I think that's absolutely beautifully put together. And folks, how can people get hold of you? Where do people find your YouTube channel? I'm sure there are lots of people that would like to touch base with you. Yeah. How do they do that?
Yeah, so if you just go to YouTube, I think if you search for SA Accounting Network, my name will definitely pop up.
Mm-hmm.
If you type in anything related to Sage, my name will pop up there as well. And all the descriptions in the videos, my email address is there. We've got a website as well called saaccountingnetwork.co.za. Yeah, so the guys can go check out what we're doing over there. And obviously Facebook, Instagram, all the normal type of stuff we have over there as well. Yeah.
I think it's absolutely amazing and very, very concise and well put together. Thank you very much for that, Heinrich, and for filling in for Steve this afternoon. Yeah. I think you did him proud. I really do. And thank you for your time this afternoon. And I hope you get that year.
It's coming.
It's a pity you couldn't have that year with your son. That's although he would probably say, "Nah, Dad, you kept my style."
Yeah, yeah. But that is the plan, to take the gappy with my son.
Ah, lovely. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Awesome.
Andrew, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon, and I hope that it is a good year for you going forward.
Awesome. Thanks, Richard.